right. Well, welcome, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us. We, again, have the pleasure of having Natalia on this call today. Thank you, Natalia, for joining us. And just a couple announcements before we dive in. There is about a week and a half left to register for the CHUN Advanced Detox Training and then also the Culinary Institute. And we have one or a couple spots possibly open for in-person for the advanced training with Natalia, but we definitely have virtual space open. So if any of you are interested in registering for that, please do so soon, and we'll look forward to seeing you all there. And Natalia's been, the class will be a little bit different this time, as mentioned before, a little more geared towards those of you who want to become practitioners of this work. So it should be really, really exciting and lots of great information on within that training. And then we definitely also have space in the Culinary Institute, so please check both of those out on the website. And then I wanted to give Joanna an opportunity. Joanna Novick is with us on this call, and she is actually going to be launching a summer detox program, which is also very exciting. So Joanna, do you want to go ahead and explain what that's about?
Sure. Thank you, Amanda. Hi, everyone. I'm very excited about this. I think there's so much power in working as a group in this work and getting some of that in-person time and working together over a longer period of time. So the intent is that for the month of July, I'm going to be running a summer detox that includes once a week of in-person get-togethers of just kind of setting the intentions for the week, once a week of a guidance and Q&A call just to check in and support you as you're going through it. We'll do walks are optional, but it would be wonderful to have your participation in those as well. And we'll have a wrap-up session with Natalia at the end of the course. So I think it's going to be just a tremendous opportunity to, you know, get together in person. It's beautiful that we have this technology to connect us, but it's also a wonderful thing to work together in person. But there is also the option that for those of you who aren't local, you can certainly join us, and we'll have that option available to participate virtually in all of the things that we do. So check out the events page because the ad is going to go up really soon, and I really I hope to meet some of you in July and work together with you.
And Joanna, when you say local, you mean New York City and Manhattan, right?
Yes, yes, New York City or the area around New York in which you'd be able to come. The idea is to have the meetings in person to be during the week after the workday, so you won't be left out if you're working during the day. We'll accommodate you as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, so check out. That should be up on the website very soon. And then before we, let's see, Natalia, did you have Q&A that you wanted to address before we go into the live Q&A? Or do you want
to I wanted to actually talk about something that our conversation inspired yesterday, and I thought it would be a good time to just kind of take us all on a great big leap together to start to see where all this is going a little bit more clearly, where all this deep tissue cleansing is going. So I'd love to talk about that for just like a couple of minutes and then open the floor for questions. And I do have some that I can address if nobody's calling in wanting us to answer them. So is that okay? Does that sound good to everyone?
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. And okay. I also want to give an opportunity for people to share. We haven't, in a few weeks, we have not opened up the floor for sharing of any inspirational stories or any books or things that people are doing or reading or experiencing that could be helpful for the group. So I want to open up that, but we can definitely do that later too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds cool. All right, I want to talk about something that I've come to call the then what factor. What I find happens is that people come to this work and they get really inspired, they change their understanding of food, and they love the changes in their body, and this high lasts for a few weeks, months, even years for some. But almost inevitably, they come to a point of questioning the lifestyle because it doesn't fit into their life paradigm, into their social conditioning. And they find a reason to put the brakes on. But inevitably, putting the brakes on makes them run into the same physical and emotional troubles that sent them searching for something better to begin with, so they come back to the work. This cycle can occur several times or more because the life pattern, the life paradigm that keeps getting in their way, this old life paradigm. And then they're also left this emptiness because their idea of what diet should achieve, meaning a better body or better health, isn't enough to satisfy their soul. So they have this moment that they might not even acknowledge where they just kind of think, well, is that all there is then what? You know, but they're not kind of going beyond the then what, they're just circling back to their old life because something hasn't been satisfied or something feels difficult or their questions aren't being answered in a certain way that's giving them that salve to their soul that the dietetics initially were giving them, that this sense of I found something that works. So it's not until one is really willing to shed their life paradigm and reach for something greater that one can actually get beyond this stage, beyond the food and the body, and see what this work is really about. This work is about becoming a more divine human. And that term may sound religious, probably conjures up all sorts of religious images, but I mean divine human to mean the pinnacle of what mankind can be. That part of our blueprint that our culture doesn't cultivate, except for the very exceptional few. And so there's this shedding that needs to be done in order to attain that state, the state of the divine human, of even becoming human as opposed to a mutant, which we talk about this idea of our culture being one of a mutated human, which isn't even a real human. But going from that space between human and divine human, it's a euphoric state. It's unencumbered by the weights and the dramas of the world. It's standing in the light and conducting love and warmth and wisdom. And this is what we all can be. The shedding, it's not about shedding weight or even shedding the wrong diet, but shedding the perspective of life that is actually out of sync with life. So when we talk about the dietetics and the cleansing techniques, we're not suggesting them because they're going to prevent disease and weight gain, but because they actually provide a way for us to become more human and eventually to become a divine human if we decide that that's what we want to do. To feel human is to feel really good and to feel open. The pathways are open. You have this natural joy. That's not the same as being disease-free or having the right weight. So my suggestion to Tissue Cleanse is part of a much bigger synchronicity with the living world model, which tells us, or actually rather shows us, that we're part of this pulsating, interconnected network of life. When we sync up with that network, we and all things around us actually feel pleasure. When we separate from it, we and all things around us experience and feel pain. And that's part of the language of life. The dietetics merely help us get there and keep us there in the pleasure, in the humanness, in that ability to effortlessly create, be inspired, conduct all those good things. So this is why, in fact, if done correctly, the dietetic approach will never be stagnant. In the beginning, when our cells and tissues are waste-laden, the diet will be heavier and more permissive. As we shed the blockages and the toxicity, it actually needs to become lighter to work for us with our transformed biochemistry. This is why the animal products and the grains are good for some, but not for others. It depends on the stage of cleansing they're in. It's also why those who have become fairly clean may struggle to experience those high states they started to get used to when they started to cleanse if they're still consuming the lower vibration foods. So their tissues at this stage, if they're significantly cleansed, are going to be sensitive enough to reject the lower vibration foods, and they might get inflamed by them. They might, you might just start to feel a little numb. You start to feel that old feeling of not really being high. It's time to up the ante. So, you know, some people send questions about whether, you know, they should be doing an all-raw diet or an 8-10-10 versus, the detox woman approach. It fully depends on the quality of your tissues, the actual makeup, the biochemistry of your tissues at the time. And I know that's not always welcome news for those who've been cleansing for a while because they don't want to get rid of certain things. It doesn't mean they have to get rid of them completely, but they have to take seriously what's actually going on in their tissues and what their tissues really want at that stage. I didn't create this. I just participate with it and shed light on it so you can benefit from the knowledge, but it is what it is. And we all have to, confront that if we want to get to that state that we're really becoming human and divinely human. So the art of cleansing, though, is knowing what your internal state is so you can plug in the right dietetic formula to get you to the next step on the cleansing path. So there is an art to all of this. It's a dance. It's not a linear path. I've said that before, but it's nuanced. It's beautiful. That's why we don't have room for dogma, and there's just no place for any of that, because it's all really this beautiful dance of dancing toward our divine selves, our divine humanness. And that's why progress is the key. We say progress, not perfection. We're not seeking perfection in our diet, but an upgrade to our whole being, to our whole life experience, our ability to love, to create, to participate in this beautiful web of life. And that is where the value is. That's where our satisfaction lies. That's why we're not going to get satisfaction in a pair of new shoes or a new car. And that's why those who are merely seeking the aesthetic benefits of dietetics will continue to circle round and round. And it doesn't matter what dietetic method it is, it will never satisfy them. There has to be more to it. There has to be the then what factor has to have an answer. So if anyone out there has come to the point in their quest where they're going around in circles saying, okay, so then what? It's because you're thirsty for the bigger picture, and that's going to provide the next steps. And those next steps and that bigger picture is going to be so much more exciting and inspiring than what you even found originally that excited and inspired you in these dietetics and the cleansing modalities. So there is never an end point. It's just a matter of knowing and having a visual, a vision, an inner vision of what can be for you and what's worth working toward. And that's how, we should be contextualizing all of this information, whether it's a something very simple to do with the dietetics of some, whether one grain is higher up on the hierarchy than another, or anything to do with this lifestyle. It's so far beyond the body, the food, the dietetics. It's this thing, that this beautiful being that we're becoming, that is part of this pulsating network, and that's when we all thrive and feel wonderful. So if anyone has any questions about that, I'm happy to answer, and I'm happy to answer questions about anything. So I'm happy to open up for calls.
Yeah, so Natalia, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate, as you know, having come to those points myself, it's so awesome to be reminded of the big picture of why we're doing this. So if anyone has a question or a comment for Natalia, please go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. I just wanted to also add one realization that I've had is that interconnected web or pulsating network that you're talking about is simply a part of nature, and we're really the only natural beings that perceive ourselves as outside of that web. So animals and plants, they are part of it and know they're part of it. It's just, I don't mean know like conscious, it just is who they are and what they are. We're the only ones that really perceive any separateness from that. Not that we are separate, but we don't always recognize that we're a part of it. And I think that one other wonderful benefit of eating in the way that we do in this lifestyle is that by every time we juice or we eat a vegetable or a fruit, we get to feel that connection again to nature and to Gaia or Mother Earth. And we're choosing to eat her fruits and her vegetables, and we're doing this hopefully consciously and in a state of gratitude. And I think when we eat this way and when we eat this way consciously, not just because we were told to do it, but because we can feel that intrinsic connection to it, I think that it is such a great, and I can just speak for myself, it's such a healing experience to really, again, feel that connection. And especially for so many of us who live pretty much 100% disconnected from nature otherwise. Eating and active eating natural foods is that one time in your day where you are really connected, very obviously. So I just wanted to offer that as well.
Yeah. No, that's very valuable. Thanks, Amanda. And hopefully, like popcorn popping, there's like, those in our community and beyond are having these same experiences themselves. So they're like, oh, I get this. I get why I'm doing this, and I get why natural food is what we should eat, not because it can fit into my clothes or stay at the doctor's office, but genuinely because I'm a human, and this is what humans are meant to eat, and this is why, if you stray from this, then you'll have pain, not because you've done something wrong, and like your mommy's swatting you on the rear end, but because you step out of the network, it hurts. But the good news is that you stay within the network, and it's awesome. It's truly awesome. If you're, and which is also why there has to be, it should be easier to be less judgmental and critical of yourself if you're genuinely on this path to clean your tissue so you can be a better human, so you can have a better life experience. Then you can see where those times when you overindulge, you let the addictions get the better of you, or a social situation get the better of you, you falter, that you can see it. You can see the big journey, and it won't be so hard on yourself. If you're faltering and your goal is to get into your skinny jeans, then you're going to hate yourself. If you're faltering and your goal is to become a better human being, then, you're going to love yourself. You're going to be like, oh, man, I can't believe I did that. But look what, look how I'm not coming down on myself for the wrong reasons. In fact, I'm not coming down on myself. I'm seeing the part of this process and why that's holding me back.
Yeah, seeing those times when you slip up as an opportunity to grow and to see where you may have some programming or shadow work to address.
It makes me think actually of the other part of our conversation about clothing yesterday. If we're not getting anyone calling in, I'd love to address this briefly. If there's not an immediate question. Okay, we'll jump to them. But let's get back to this because it all connects, this weight that especially women, but guys too, have on themselves to look a certain way, which is why they diet, which is why they feel like they need to fit into these clothes. But these clothes, actually the actual wearing of these clothes to begin with is harmful, especially to women. We've got to get into that at some point, Amanda. It is a fascinating subject and concept. Okay, let's take some callers, and we'll remember to get back to that.
All right. I am going to unmute Alyssa. Go ahead. Alyssa?
Hi, Alyssa. Are you there?
Yeah. I'm here. So, well, I want to say that I actually feel a little bit recently like I am dropping a little bit more deeply into the work where I can actually feel like, oh my goodness, I just awakened some carbonic gas and things like that. So that's kind of fun and exciting. And then also, if I could, I just want to share a really quick story and then ask my question.
Okay.
Okay.
Please,
so
we'd love to hear your story. Yeah.
So the story is that I have a friend who is getting into this multi-level business where they're selling these nutritional supplements to increase your antioxidant level as a cancer-fighting thing. And they have this scanner that you can put your hand on, and everybody scans within like a 20,000 to 30,000 range. But I was at a party, and I scanned myself and came in at 48,000, which is like the top 2% of the nation. And I was just like so stoked. I was like, yes, the juicing works. It was just a nice sort of external validation of all of the work that I do just based on trust and my personal experience. But it was fun to have an external validation. But
that is a fun story. That's an actual vibratory measuring device, or what is it? What exactly is it measuring? The electromagnetic pulse in the body?
It scans the skin, and it scans the antioxidant level by looking at the carotenoids.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay,
yeah.
Interesting. That's a very very cool.
So my question is, I would like to understand the principles behind avoiding bad oils, because I have not been convinced to date, and I just want to understand that. I mean, I haven't been convinced to the level that I've actually eliminated them from my diet, and I wanted to understand a little bit more about what the impact is at a cellular level so that I can...
Of bad oils.
Let it go.
You mean
bad
oils? You mean specifically bad oils, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, basically, you want to just put it really, really simply, aside from the toxic overload, you're suffocating your cells. So imagine if you were a little cell and you were smothered in oil, you couldn't breathe. You die. So any chance of keeping your cells oxidated. They can't even get any oxygen if they were oxidated. So it's also if poor oils in a system that has accumulation is going to mean a compilation of these substances. So whereas if you, just to get this straight, so you're juicing, and are you doing colonics?
Yep.
So you're doing this deep tissue cleansing approach, but you're incorporating, you're still keeping poor fats or mutated oils in your diet.
Right.
Like chemical, like what kind of oils? Like cottonseed oil and canola oil?
Like canola, machine? Soy, mm-hmm. because it's from the commercial salad dressings.
Oh, I see. Right. You were asking about the restaurant's salad dressing. I was going to address that in this call, too. Okay. Well, when you say you're not convinced, is it because you're still having good results even though you're keeping them in?
No, because I do need to probably drop them in order to get to the next level. I realize that. But I don't know. I guess there's a part of my mind that's like, well, how bad are they really? Because I just don't understand,
oh.
I guess.
Oh, I see. Okay. No. I mean, I'm not going to speak from a food science perspective. I'm going to speak from a cellular experience and tissue experience. I mean, they're going to mutate cells. They're going to suffocate cells. They're going to stick in the tissue. They're going to cause other things to stick because the oils themselves they congeal other substances around them. They're not good. But I mean, if you're going for tissue cleansing, that's definitely not something you want to continue to incorporate. If you're taking them in the present, with your raw salads, they're going, and your larger dietetic approach is so much cleaner. You'll be able to deal with them better than the average person, of course. But they have no place in your body. I mean, they're the furthest thing from human food you could come up with, other than maybe styrofoam. Does that give you a better maybe think of styrofoam if that used to be your image?
Okay.
But yeah, it's funny that would be the holdout for you, and it's because you just really like the taste.
Yeah, I really like the taste, and it's convenient. You know, when I go mm-hmm. out to eat, sometimes I don't like to squeeze all the little lemon wedges, or
Mm-hmm. Well, and you don't want to be one of those little old ladies pulling their salad dressing out of their purse. Like, if you were to make
yourself.
Does
anybody bring salad dressing in their purse?
You know, in the 80s, it was a really big thing to bring your fat-free salad dressing in your purse. I mean, maybe I was on the fringes then, but I would say, deal with the. Well, I bring my own lemon because I can't bear when they serve those little slithers of lemon wedges.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. So I bring my own lemons, and I always ask them, because I don't want to have to use my lemon unless I have to. So I'll say, can you bring me a lemon, a whole lemon, just sliced, down the middle. And if they get it right, I'll use their lemon. If they come with the little tiny wedges, I'll use what I can and then move on to my lemon. I also keep a really nice knife in my bag. It's just always good to have that on hand if you've got lemons. But, it's worth it to just grab a lemon before you leave the house to take to the restaurant. And if you ask them for a whole lemon, they'll bring it to you. I mean, you're doing so much. You're putting all this alkalinity into your system to then smother it in bad oils just seems to me a big, it's two steps forward and at least one step back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it.
Okay.
You're beyond that now. You just needed me to tell you though, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah, onward and upward, and here's to more alkaline salads in future.
All right.
Thanks for calling, though.
Yeah.
Jackie, you are off mute now. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi, Natalia.
Hi, Jackie.
I love your topic. It's fascinating about that it's not about the clothes and the body. It's about a better life and a higher consciousness of living, which basically I went on your food plan and other food plans before yours to feel better, to enjoy the food, but to feel better, and I never got that. And what I've come to the conclusion is just what you're talking about, but I'm just a beginner here, and what really influenced me was reading Arnold, how do you pronounce his last name?
Eretz?
Mucusless Diet. His book is so inspirational for me. So what I did was, and I don't have to lose weight. My weight is fine. I went on your food plan for health reasons. Anyway, so because his book was so inspirational, I started not having breakfast and lunch, just the green drinks. And I felt phenomenal mentally. And I eat, I don't do that every day, but what I realize is that I just felt fabulous, and I always thought I needed a lot of food or this food to, you know, to feel okay. And my question to you is, and another thing I'm curious about with myself, which I'll explore and find out in time, because I like to experiment, that I must have a dessert at night. Now, what I've come to realize, why could if I choose to go a whole day without eating except for my green drinks, and at night, you know, I have to have this dessert. I know it's emotional eating, this dessert. It's okay for me, since I don't have to lose weight, to have a healthy dessert, but why do I have to have it? Now, you recommended a book on your site, and I don't see it, Emotional Eating. That's my first question. How do I get that? And the second and last question to you is this better life and higher consciousness of living, are there any books you'd recommend for us to read?
Sure. So for the first book, now, because you're a member, you have access to the ebook of Emotional Eating SOS. So you can go on to, Amanda, it's under exclusive content, right?
What is it under?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Under
exclusive content on the main page on the community. Exclusive content. You'll scroll down and go to books, ebooks, and you'll find it. And then in terms of this raising the human to divine human, I would say, I mean, I'm sure Amanda also has suggestions. My favorite to date, and I've been this has been a pursuit of mine for a long time, the person I find best expresses it, it's translated from, I think, from the French, but I'm going to spell it out for you. The first name is Omraam, Omraam. Middle name, Mikhael, Mikhael.
Okay.
Last name, Ayvanhov. And he's a Christian mystic, and explains the process and what needs to be done in order to shed much of this. You could take him from start to finish and become a master. Let's put it that way.
Uh-huh.
But if one is truly ready to do this work and they stumble upon his work, they can take it all the way. And I would say, you know, I always mention Almeen, who I've been, you know, she's been a teacher of mine for many, many years. Not personally one-on-one. I've, like anybody else, just have used her her CDs and books. I prefer her vocals and videos and CDs to her books. I think her books are a little bit a little too far out there, but the CDs are great. And Amanda, I know you have some people that you love. It's Almine, A-L-M-I-N-E, Almine. And she is a modern mystic. She's living, and Omran is no longer living, but he was also, you know, relatively contemporary. I think he passed maybe 10 or 15 years ago. But it's much more appealing to read. You know, in many ways, it's easier to grasp a master's work if it's contemporary, because, you know, he's referring to things that are in today's world, not in the biblical days. Makes things very, very relevant. And that's usually what winds up being, you know, to borrow the term, the aha moment, is when, you know, you can really see how you're acting this out in your life, or how this is enacted in society in present day. And you can say, oh, I get it. I really get it. And those little moments will help you take great big leaps. And I feel like the more we're all experiencing that, the more everybody is. It's the, whether it's the 100th monkey concept, or this idea that a certain, the consciousness is lifting, and together, Amanda and I were talking about the other day, it just seems like the leaps are happening so fast now that things that seemed, you know, we would have to reach to grasp them before are so incredibly obvious to us now that we couldn't live our life, you know, with any other kind of perspective. But yet, we know that tomorrow, an even vaster perspective is going to open up, and we're going to see the picture even more fully. It's that eagle's consciousness, you know, relative to what comes next, you know, we may still be herd animals compared to the eagle consciousness, the eagle vision that we're going to have tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, as we keep our sights set on this path, because it's very easy to get distracted. In a minute, you can get distracted and fall back into drama, and, you know, the hooks that the world can have in you, whether it's a material hook, fears, all these things that can still reside in our subconscious mind, and the body is the subconscious mind, can still take hold. So we must remain vigilant. But if that is our goal, and that's what we want more than anything, everything will appear on our path to make it happen for us.
Oh, that sounds great. Very, very good. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. I think, Jackie, Amanda may have something to add. If you do, jump in,
yeah.
Amanda.
Yeah, I was going to just recommend a couple that have been very instrumental for me as well.
Okay.
And this is how I do things. I normally kind of wade in the water and then eventually find myself totally submerged. And that has been the same kind of process for me as well, although it's been relatively fast. So there's been tons and tons and tons that I know from Natalia, too, of teachers along the way. But I think one that speaks very, very profoundly about this new emergence, or this consciousness level that is rising, and how to really bring that about in your life, or become aware of the fact that it's happening, is Padma, P-A-D-M-A, Aon,
uh-huh.
A-O-N, Prakasha, P-R-A-K-A-S-H-A.
P-R-A-K-A.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, P-R-A-K-A-S-H-A.
Oh, okay, great. Uh-huh.
He's alive as well, and leads amazing expeditions to sacred sites all throughout the world, has virtual classes and things like Almine as well that you can participate in, but also some great books. And one of them that is extremely profound is the Christ Blueprint. The Christ
uh-huh.
Blueprint.
Okay.
That one, I
just ordered it, Amanda. I ordered it. I'm awesome. Looking forward to reading it.
Mm. Awesome. And then also, this you may or may not have heard of Michael Beckwith, and he's a very very modern take on all this, but not his book so much, but Sunday Agape. Agape International is a spiritual community based on metaphysical spirituality concepts, and he has been so instrumental in my growth, and the fact that I get to revisit it every Sunday, he just really channels some amazing wisdom. So that's another recommendation I would have.
And that's live. That's a live video stream.
You can live stream it. The the spiritual community is physically located in Culver City, L.A., but I'm in Hawaii and live stream it every Sunday. So you can do that. And you can also access old versions of it and stuff, too.
But I missed his last name. The first name is Michael.
Yeah, sorry. Beckwith. B-E-C-K-W-I-T-H. B-E-C-K-W-I-T-H. Beckwith.
For those of you who are not with a paper and pen right now, I'm writing them all down, so they'll be on the web too. Don't worry.
Oh, great.
We love you, Joanna. You're always on top of it.
Woo-hoo. Oh, thank you.
Okay.
So much.
Well, that's great. I mean, hopefully, everyone mentioned is so valuable, and I think that anyone you go to first will provide the wisdom and the gems that you'll need, especially because I find that really the ones that, when you know, I love that old proverb, but it may seem trite, but it's always so meaningful to me. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So when when our mind is really ready to grasp these concepts and take these leaps, you know, they appear right before us. They're always right in front of us. We're just not seeing them. So the right next step, the right teacher, book, seminar, you know, whatever it is, will appear. Otherwise, you know, a lot of people wind up spending their whole lives as seekers. And if you find that you're still in these circles, you know, the same thing with dietetics. You can, you know, be a chronic seeker for enlightenment. And if you're not getting there, it's not because it's not there. It's because either your alignment is still off, you're not really open to it, or you've been meeting with the wrong teachers, which may be because you're attracting the wrong teachers because you're really not there yet. Not, you know, so it's, but it is all happening. I think it's time to, again, Amanda, you reminded me of the term let go, to let go and trust and really give yourself to the process, because what we've been doing, what the world has been doing, what our culture has been doing, isn't working. And they are just, I mean, I've said this before, but, you know, they're just like going down. The whole thing is crumbling. It's crumbling. It's crumbling fast. It's over. It's done. There's the truth is coming through. I've got baby waking up here, so I may have to feed. But it's time to really trust and embrace it. That is opening up to you. And know that it's there, and it's not just a theoretical concept. It really is real.
Thank you, Jackie.
Oh, thank you. Thank both of you, all of you, so much. And I believe you, Natalia. I know. You just have to be open.
Yeah, you're doing a great job there, Jackie. Yeah, okay.
Okay, Natasha, I just unmuted you. Natasha, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Can you hear me?
Hi, Natasha. Yes, we hear you.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that what I was doing was correct, but that's incredible. Hello. I'm Lee from Australia, and I'm really an avid follower of your work, and I adore everything you've, you know, created, and thank you. I am suffering from a bone infection in my ethmoid bone, which is right next to my brain, and it's chronic. It's been there for about 10 years, and I've had surgery and it's spreading slowly, but I am following the cleansing program, and I've been doing that transitioning for about 3 years, and I've done some juice fasting, and I'm just trying to develop for myself a program that I can live on that's still very vigorous in its cleansing. And I always come to this stumbling block where I'm doing the juices and say about 1.5 liters, or I think that's quarts, of juice a day, green juice, and some avocado salad. And then I wonder, what will I add on that won't create an acidic environment or feed the infection, you know, which is a combination of yeast and bacteria. And I always wanted to ask you what you would recommend if I, you know, went down the starches or the nuts and seeds or the and kept it raw, or the fish and eggs, or a bit of everything, or goat's cheese, I should say. And I was just wondering what you would recommend for someone who is, you know, in a sort of health predicament like me.
Well, you know, what really comes to mind isn't so much what to add on top of that, but it's certainly a great start with your diet, and we can address that. But I would consider looking into finding an integrative MD who can administer intravenous hydrogen peroxide. Now, this may or may not be the move for you. You may or may not decide to do this, but it would be interesting to explore that with an integrative physician, because hydrogen peroxide intravenously kills infection like nothing else, and it could just be the simple shot in the arm, literally, that you need.
Okay.
So I mean, it may sound kind of out there. It's definitely a controversial thing, which is why I say, you know, talk to them and you know, sit down and study it. I've thoroughly researched it, and I've done it myself. I love intravenous hydrogen peroxide, and unfortunately, I don't have very generous veins, so it's always hard for me to get a vein. So I would go more often if I could. It's an awesome concept, because the hydrogen peroxide goes into the bloodstream, and it kills all infection. In fact, it was used for tuberculosis. I mean, so many things in the medical community, and because it is so inexpensive, it's something that the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry, can't profit off of. It winds up falling into the, you know, the reservoir of those things that get rejected. But it is a powerful tool, powerful healing tool, and I encourage you to explore that. And in terms of, you know, in terms of dietetics, I think, you know, all you have to do is throw in the sweet potatoes and the other baked root vegetables. Keep it simple with millet and goat cheese. You don't want to you don't want to tax the system by using the, any kind of, as you said, you know, meat, and I think that's what you said, chickens, antibiotics, things that have those things in them, obviously, you don't want to include. But the simple, clean, neutral foods, non-alkaline, but neutral or slightly acidic, will be fine in your evening meal. So the issue, obviously, yes, you want to empower your body to fight this infection, but you also want to kill the infection with any means you can. And for so many different issues, hydrogen peroxide is an amazing, underused, under-researched, by our present culture, just under, it's something that people are just completely ignorant about, but can be such a powerful healing tool.
Can I just ask, is that always in a standard concentration when they're administering it, or does that vary?
It varies slightly. It's 3%, but it's food grade 3%. It's medical grade, I should say, 3%. And it can. I've had mine taken up to 6%. I wanted to go higher, but the vein issue would not present itself. Yeah. So I had to finally give up. I don't like getting poked, you know, more than a few times with a needle. So I had to take a break. But they will increase based on, you know, on your tolerance for it.
So but it's not diluted.
You know what? Ask the physician how they do it. I know
okay,
that it's medical grade 3%. It's diluted. It's diluted in saline. I mean, it's in a saline solution.
Yeah.
And they usually add a little magnesium to it as well.
Okay. In terms of a hierarchy, in adding to the evening meal, this is my last question. Would you put the starches before the goat cheese, and then the goat cheese before nuts and seeds, or does it not really work as clearly as that?
No, it's a very, very good question. You know, it depends on how you're consuming them. If you're talking about starches being a baked sweet potato or baked root vegetable is biochemically cleaner than a goat milk product, even if it's a raw goat milk product. So, you know, we're talking about a raw goat milk product is going to be slightly acidic. A baked root vegetable is going to be a neutral. Okay, nuts are always going to be acidic. So they're not a water-containing food, and they're hard to digest. I mean, for me, nuts need to be taken in very, very small quantities and only in the context of a well-combined, very, you know, large raw salad kind of a meal. And that's not how most people consume them. So if you're the kind of person that would love the idea of a big raw salad with some tahini dressing and a handful of almonds, and you can leave it at that, then by all means, that's a very, a super high on the hierarchy kind of a meal. But, mm-hmm. you know, if for you a few almonds sends you right into the raw granola and the raw brownies and the raw ice cream, then it may be perfectly well combined, but it's super, super dense. Mm. But still, the choices. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, sorry. Go on. Sorry.
But the choice between having a raw salad with goat cheese and a raw salad with a baked sweet potato are both excellent choices, and you can't go wrong with either one. I wouldn't pull hairs over them at all.
Okay. I just sort of had this quandary because I knew animal products were acidic, and I knew red root vegetables were starchy and raised the blood sugar slightly, which fed sort of the infection, and I always felt caught between these two things, you know, like do I, but I guess it's a much of a muchness, as you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about, especially there is a variety of in terms of the starchiness of root vegetables, you have your beets and carrots, which are water, you know, they're low starch vegetables. And then you have your sweet potatoes, which are a high starch vegetable. So between, you know, in that range, in between you have the parsnips and the celery root and the butternut squash. So if you want to err a little bit more safely, then do the butternut squash or the acorn squash instead of the sweet potato. And if you know that for you a sweet potato and salad means three sweet potatoes, then that might not be the best choice. But still, I mean, if given what you're telling me about your diet, you're not going to feed an infection with sweet potatoes.
Okay.
You know, if you were telling me that you're doing that and a lot of chocolate and you had to have some feta grain bread with it, or you're having some cashew or some oatmeal cookies and making that a starch meal, then that could get a little bit, you know, edgy in terms of feeding yeast and feeding infection. But but not if we're talking about a big raw salad, an avocado, a baked sweet potato, and some baked beets, and a head of broccoli. Yeah, which is a lot of food, but that's certainly not going to feed an infection.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much. I've been thinking about that for so long.
You could also think, I mean, it's something like you could take the hydrogen peroxide orally as well, if you want to.
I've
stronghold.
Been using my internet. Mm-hmm. But it's not the same. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's only going to be intestinal, so in really just the lower intestine, the bowel. So if you wanted to get it through the whole alimentary canal, then you could take it, you could, you know, do the food grade peroxide, the drops in water. And I, you know, because of my inability to speak totally freely about this, I would say, you know, on the internet you can find a lot of information about exactly how much to do. But make sure you're using food grade and don't definitely, anybody listening who is interested in doing that, do not think you should take more rather than less. If you err on, if say there's a range, for example, say it was suggested that you start with, one drop. It's a little eyedropper full. You know, we're talking about a drop of food grade peroxide. This is 35%. It's fire water. If it suggests that you put one dropper of, one drop per ounce, and then you could work up to three drops per ounce, many people will think, oh, well, then I should start with three drops per ounce because that's going to work faster. That would be a really wrong assumption. You will feel terrible. And it's the kind of thing you really have to slowly work your way up. I've had plenty of experience personally and with others with this. You do not want to kid around with the peroxide. It can really work extremely well. It kills viruses. It's powerful and wonderful, but it has to be administered properly. And always err on less
take the time to work yourself out, make sure it feels good. You don't want to feel crampy. It makes you feel as bad as if you took psyllium without colonics. It's one of those things that used properly can be an amazing healing tool, but used improperly can make you feel like you want to die. So that's not to say don't do it. That's to say do it correctly.
Yes. Oh, that's great. I'll try that. That's really encouraging. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
And thank you for all your inspiring work. It's really changed my life. Thank you.
I'm so glad to hear that.
And congratulations.
Thank you. You're thank you, actually. No, thanks so much.
Natalia, so if you wanted to talk about the clothing topic, we have a little bit more time to do that, or we could take another question.
Let's take another question, and we'll go back to that.
Okay.
Okay. Wendy, you have the mic now.
Hi, ladies. Thank you so much for these calls. They've been really invaluable. I had a question about fasting, Natalia. I've listened to your audio and also questions that have been posted in community, as well as one of Anna's posts. Mm-hmm. So I've been on Detox and Mormon for like 2 years now, and I do want to go deeper, but however, what I've noticed is my body is not as contracted as it was like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, maybe I should embark on a juice fast. However, after listening to your audio, because I'm actually traveling as well, and I would like to have that contracted body. But you said unless you have, like, 6 days, then don't do the juice fast. Am I correct?
You're correct. Yeah.
Okay.
What's happened is, okay, first of all, the reason there's that intense contraction in the beginning is because the cells are, the tissue is getting squeezed. I mean, think of it as it getting squeezed. It gets all the, it's like when you squeeze a sponge to get all the rubbish out of it, and it gets really tight and tiny at first, and then you release it. And it's not that it, you know, you go back to being like plump or anything, but you go back to having clean tissue. And that's going to be what your body should be. That intense contraction is part of the purging. It's it happens most extremely with men. It doesn't always happen that much with women. But with guys, you'll see this intensely. They'll get down to, you know, they'll just suddenly shrink, and their friends will think they're dying. And, then the guys will panic. But then if they just hold out and get the waste that's being awakened out of tissue, then they come back to just being this glorious. They're everything just looks amazing. And let me ask you this. If your physique now, I know you say you want to be more contracted. Is it because you liked that sort of tight, small, you liked that small, contracted physique? You like the way your clothes hung on you and stuff.
It's not about like I feel comfortable with my body. I mean, I feel great. I feel the life force and the energy. I just feel when I was more contracted 6 months ago, I felt better, like lighter, and just now I feel a little not heavy, but just not light in my body. Like I just don't feel my best right now.
I'm sorry. I just had to
oh, no.
My children. No, did you say that the last sentence for me? I know that you just the last part that you said.
Oh, so when I was more contracted, I felt just light and lighter in my body. Mm-hmm. Not that I feel, I don't feel, I said heavy, but not heavy in the sense of like carrying a lot of weight or anything.
No,
like
I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. What we need to get at here, and this might, you may go through more contractions, and if there's toxicity in the system, every time you fast, there will be a contraction. It's just that the cleaner you get, there'll be less contraction, which is a good thing, because it'll show that there's not such an extreme difference between your tissue quality not fasting than fasting as fasting. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
So the cleaner you get, the less you have to fast to have your body in a clean state. When you're fasting and your tissues aren't clean, they contract as part of the reaction to the fast.
Mm-hmm.
The body's being put into a cleansing territory that it's not used to. Whereas when you're living the clean celled lifestyle, it's more even keeled. So, for example,
right.
if you were to kind of go off the rails and do, you know, eat a lot of food you didn't eat before, and then fast, you would have that experience. You would, you know, you would feel rotten, and then you'd fast, and it would be a dramatic difference. But if you're doing things right, and you know, and this is the state of your tissues, and this is the way your body is, and your shape and your girth, then it's correct. And it's a hard thing to come to terms with for people who like that tight, tiny experience. And I will
speak
firsthand.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I like, Natalia.
What's that?
Just sound like, I said, that's what I like, the tight,
yeah,
tightness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's an aesthetic. And it's not that your tissues aren't tight. It's that your body is physically, the girth is just smaller. You're shrunk. And so, you know, your jeans hang on you. Everything kind of like you're on a hanger, like you're a fashion model, like you're, you know, doing the catwalk. And that's a physical experience, and it's a look. But it's kind of like guys who want to be big, and so they take the protein soy isolate, and they pump, and they pump iron, and they do all this stuff to make them look that way. But a natural, healthy man would never look that way. So
right.
it's coming to terms with the fact that your physique, the way your body's meant to look, is probably the way it's looking now and not the way it was looking when you were going through that intense contraction. And that can be really annoying, and I completely appreciate
it
how you
is.
Feel.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, because I felt that too, but here's the thing. This is the difference. This is really, really important to grasp.
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
Okay.
How old are you?
I'm 32.
Okay. So what winds up happening is when the tissue is healthy and there's all this vitality pulsing through it and your blood is really clean and your bones are strong, you have a juicy quality to your body. It's not plump. It's not in any way heavy. You know, you're not like, you know, sporting the donkey donk in any major way. It's just a juicy factor that's a really positive thing. It means that to guys, you look hot. It means that you look better with your clothes off in many cases than with your clothes on. And, you know, for most people, they would much rather have that experience. Because when you get to a certain point in life, usually, you know, past 35, if you were able to sustain it that long, because most people now, their tissue quality is deteriorating so fast that they look so, you know, they're starting to get loose-skinned even earlier in life. It always starts in the face and it moves to the body after. That's why Spanx is so popular. It's not because Spanx doesn't make you that much smaller. It smooths everything out. It gives you, makes you look like you have, smooth lines to your limbs, and you know, in your butt. And so it's like everything otherwise on people starts to sag because poor tissue quality is like rags hanging on bones. So what you wind up finding is that people even who put on weight in their 30s. You know, if they kind of reach their, they tend to reach their point. If they tend to put on weight, they put it on, and they get to a certain size. And from 35 or so onwards, they don't get bigger. They get mushier. They just get mushy. So here's the beautiful thing. You might not be made to be to have that those catwalk hips and, you know, the bones jutting out. You might get that after 6 days of juice fasting, you know, and you can know how to get it if you want to get it, and you know, by all means, that's up to you. But you'll be able to maintain that juicy, beautiful tissue and look awesome naked through the decades. You won't have that deterioration factor, that decay that literally makes you a bag of skin and bones, it's a hard one to get around when you're young enough to have the great tissue quality, look juicy, and be skinny, but it's still a perverse model. And it's very much connected to this other thing that Amanda and I want to talk about. But, you know, I definitely hear you. I understand where you're coming from. And it's something that has been so deeply ingrained in those of us, especially in our generation, that aesthetic. And it's not a natural aesthetic. And for so many years, I would have this conversation with Gil. I'd be like, you know, I want to have that all the time. And, you know, he'd be like, but your body's not made that way. You know, and so you have to come to terms with that, and that's what then leads you eventually to the, as we're coming full circle, to the then what factor. Because if it's not about body, if it's not about getting our satisfaction from how great we look, you know, when our pants are hung low on our hips and, you know, our hip bones are jutting out and we can be approved by society because we look hot according to their terms, then what is it about? What is going to give us satisfaction that's lasting? Well, you know, we can trade in the the low slung size 24 jeans for divine humanity.
Absolutely, I agree with that. But again, I know I was like, should I even ask this question? Like how the call began, I was like, I don't want to sound like no. But the thing is, like when I was very contracted, I wasn't feeling that high of a life force as I do feel now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe, like you said, Natalia, I meant to be in this physique right now, like I am right now.
Yeah, it's, so. You know, if you can judge where you are on the path by how you feel, by your life experience,
yeah,
that will be a much better sort of pilot for you or compass for you to go by than, you know, and then, you know, what's going on in terms of the girth, even though that can be a really helpful factor too, because if you're overdoing, it's going to show up. And if you know, if you're trying to get away with things, your body's going to tell you, because it's going to get inflamed if you put things in that it doesn't want. But you know, but a clean-celled body is not going to look anorexic. It's going to look hot. Oh, I can promise you that. The girls might not check you out, but the guys will.
You're so right about that. Can I ask you one last question about the fasting? I do want to fast, though, not just for what we talked about earlier, to go deeper, because I think I'm totally ready for that right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm still battling the yeast, I know, because I do, because every time I use a sauna, I still break out, but not on my face, like on my back.
Mm-hmm.
I get breakouts on my back. So is that something that eventually stops happening? Once I get cleaner and cleaner.
Yeah, you mean these
like,
little symptoms that come up?
Yeah, using the sauna and having the breakouts, like on my body.
Definitely. You know what? In fact, some people who are absolute dedicated tissue cleansers will struggle with facial breakouts for several years. And I know you're not speaking about that, but they might still have, you know, the acne that they took the Accutane to cover. I'm sorry, hold on, five more minutes. Okay. That they used to cover their acne, now that they're cleansing more deeply, it's taking longer to go, or it can be,
mm-hmm.
something can be persistent. Allow the process, because it really is a long-term thing, and know that the formula never fails. You know, awaken and release equals high vibe, clean, beautiful tissue, and the natural human body that we were meant to enjoy. I'm going to have to wrap up. I love that last question. It was great. And
Thank you so much, Amanda.
It's such a pleasure. And Amanda, I'm going to let you close up for me because family calls.
Okay. Well, we're done with our time. But thank you, Natalia. Thank you, everyone. We'll have the recording available in a couple days. And we love having these calls, and we love talking to you all. So thank you for joining, and we look forward to speaking again soon. All right.
Great.
Aloha, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Lots and lots of love.